To 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. We're going to look at verses 18 through 21. Second Corinthians 5:18 through 21. Verse number 18, it says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Here we have a passage of scripture that affects every single person in this auditorium tonight. Whether you're saved or whether you are unsaved, there is a message contained in these verses for your life tonight that is of utmost importance to your functioning as the way God would want you to function. There is a mission that God has for every believer. It says here in verse number 18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." The first verse number 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God." We find, how is this ministry of reconciliation, how is this mission that God has sent us on, how is it going to be accomplished? Well, it says in verse, the beginning of the verse 18, all things are of God. The means of the mission, how is it going to be accomplished? Well, it can only happen by God. How can a soul be transformed? Well, it is a work of God in that person's life that has been made possible because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished. This is a work of God in an individual's life. All of the success of the Apostle Paul was not because of who he was, but because he was obediently representing the greatest one that could ever be represented. The Lord Jesus Christ, God was working through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. It wasn't because the Apostle Paul was some great and gifted speaker. Really, we find, you know, the opposite. He didn't use enticing words of man's wisdom, but it was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. It was God's power that was working on behalf of the Apostle Paul as he obediently followed God in the mission that he was sent to do. Even as Christ said in John chapter 6 and verse number 44, he says, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." There was a work of God in that individual's life. So we find the means of the mission. This is something that can only be accomplished by God. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." You know, there is nothing in us that can accomplish this great mission that we have been sent on. Really, a message, the transforming message of the gospel. We find all things are of God. It is He who will do the work in the individual's life. Now we must obediently follow.
We must send forth the message. There is no room for sitting back and saying, well, whatever happens is going to happen. If that is our attitude, we have the wrong attitude. It's an unscriptural attitude. But at the same time, we must recognize that God is the one that does this transforming work because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished. So we find the means of the mission that we have been sent on. How are people going to be made new creatures? Well, it is by the power of God as they put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice here the men of the mission is this mission, this ministry of reconciliation. He says, "In all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." So who has been given this ministry of reconciliation? Well, it says here, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. All right, so reconciliation. We are in a hostile relationship. We are enemies of God. But yet, because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, in verse number 21, he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Instead of this hostile relationship with God, now we are brought into a right relationship with him. We have been reconciled through in salvation. So who are the men of this mission of reconciliation? Who are the people of this mission? Well, it says, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to what? To us the ministry of reconciliation. So those who have been reconciled, they have been given, this ministry of reconciliation has been committed to them. You know, this ministry of reconciliation is only for certain people. I remember a long time ago in high school, and I can't remember exactly how he gave the illustration, but one of my friends was preaching, and he was preaching on soul winning. And he said, you know, how many people, you know, go to the refrigerator and open up the refrigerator, and maybe they're hungry, and I may not be giving exactly how he gave it, but you know, open up the refrigerator and you look inside the refrigerator. Maybe you're hungry and you see something there to eat. And you say, well, I just don't have the gift of eating. You know, so you're not going to eat because you don't have the gift of eating. Well, sometimes that's how believers approach soul winning. You know, I don't have the gift of soul winning, so, you know, I can't do it. Well, we find here that the ministry of reconciliation is only for certain people. All right, and who is that certain people? Well, that certain people are those people who have what? Who have been reconciled. So if you're in this building tonight and you have been reconciled, well, you have this ministry of reconciliation. And really, that is what the ministry is all about, is about reconciliation. But you know, if you are a believer tonight and you have been reconciled, this important ministry has been committed to you by God. You are the people. We are the people of this mission that God has given. So hath given to us. Who's us? Well, those that have been reconciled. Given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You know, what a great thing has taken place in our lives if you are saved tonight. Think of it, being an enemy of God. You know, that is obviously, you do not want to be an enemy of God. You know, there are certain enemies you do not want to have in life. And obviously, the chiefest enemy that you do not want to have is God. And because of the great love that has been shown us through the Lord Jesus Christ, it says in verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Each one of us have trespassed. We have crossed the bounds. We have walked where we shouldn't have walked. And we were enemies. But we have been reconciled, and that ministry has been committed to our trust. Yes, the ministry of reconciliation is only for certain people. But that certain people are those who have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and have been reconciled to God. You know, if you have been reconciled, if you are saved tonight, this ministry is your ministry. You know, it's not for some special class of Christians. This is for all believers. And if you have been reconciled tonight, this is your ministry. So we see here tonight, we see the means of the mission. This is only something that can happen by God. The men of the mission is every believer, every person that has been reconciled. This ministry has been committed to them. But thirdly, let's notice the magnitude of this mission that we have been sent on. Notice what it says in verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. First of all, we need to recognize the magnificent message that we have been committed with. That God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, this is a huge message that we have been given. That people, that individuals that we are speaking with, can be reconciled to God. They don't have to stay in a hostile relationship with the Creator of this world. They can be brought into the right relationship with Him. And instead of being His enemy, they can be a child of God and can be brought into that right relationship. We have such a magnificent message. We need to understand the magnitude of the mission that we are on. What a great message we have been given. You know, how often, myself included, do we fail to recognize that message that we have? That here are enemies of God, but yet they can be reconciled to Him. You know, first of all, these people need to understand that they are the enemy of God. So they can be brought into that right relationship with Him. What a magnificent message we have been given. But notice, not just a magnificent message, but notice the great size of the audience that it is going to. Verse number 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling who? Reconciling the world unto Himself. You know, there's not just some select group of people that we are to give this message to. You know, wait for just a certain group. All right, but reconciling the world, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. There is a huge audience. There is, if we can use the same word, magnificent, so to speak, the whole world, the audience that we are giving this message to. You know, not just some small group of individuals. It's not just Mequonago or East Troy or the cities or villages or unincorporated towns around us. But this message is for the whole world. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. In order to think that God wants to have that type of relationship with mankind. But there is a change that has to take place in mankind in order for that relationship to take place. You know, if you were tonight a sales representative for some company, and, you know, maybe you were bragging about your new sales position, maybe you're looking for a job, and you just got a sales position with a company, and they said, we'd like you to be the representative of, you know, Beulah Station down there. Or I guess the sign says Lake Beulah, but I think a lot of people around here call it Beulah Station. But, you know, the little town on Highway L by the railroad tracks. You know, would you be going around bragging to people, yes, I am the sales representative for Beulah Station. You know, feeling rather important. Or maybe, not to pick on the garter piece, but maybe it's Caldwell, you know. I'm the sales representative for Caldwell. You know, all, I don't know, 75 people. You know, that live in Caldwell. Well, you know, if you got a position and you were the sales representative for maybe the state of Wisconsin, maybe the entire USA, that'd be what? You'd feel, this is an important place that I've been given. You know, I am the sales representative for the entire USA. And maybe it's a big company, you know, not just some little company that just started up, but you have been given that job to be the representative, maybe in charge of all the other sales representatives for one country. Well, imagine if you were the sales representative for the entire world. You know, as believers, we are what? Representing Christ to what? The entire world. You know, there is a magnificent representation that we have. You know, it is a great audience that we have been given to. But far greater than that, there is the magnificent one that we are representing. It says here, hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Notice what we are to use. The word of reconciliation. God's word. That is the message that we are communicating. The word of reconciliation. It says, now then we are what? We are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors. We are Christ's representatives. You know, the magnitude of the mission that we are on is that we are representing Christ. Is there a magnificent message? Not only is there a great audience that we have, the whole world, but there is a magnificent representation as we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. All right, so here, God's message is being communicated. God is beseeching lost individuals through whom? Through us. There is a representation that we have. There is a message that we are communicating. This is not our message. This is God's message that we are communicating to lost individuals. And we need to recognize the magnitude of this representation that has been committed to us. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are citizens of a different country. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul speaks of that citizenship that he had. In verse number 20, Philippians 3 and verse 20, he says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So our Savior is in heaven. All right, and what is he? We are his ambassadors here on this earth. We are his representatives. You know, ambassadors, we have ambassadors in countries. You know, the United States of America has ambassadors in different foreign countries. Now, if that ambassador is doing his job, he's going to be what? Representing the affairs of the United States of America in that country. You know, what would it be like if there was an ambassador, and he was paid by the United States of America, but he hated the United States of America. Well, he probably wouldn't make a very good ambassador. He would be looking out for the affairs of another country. And as believers, our love, our passion ought to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are His representatives in this world. We are representing a great message. But notice, it says, we are ambassadors as though God did beseech you by us. We are speaking God's message. He's using us to beseech others. It says, we pray you in Christ's stead. All right, notice, we are in Christ's place, so to speak, representing Him while He is not here physically on this earth. We are His representatives. We are in Christ's stead. We are to act as He would act because we are taking His place. You know, He left the disciples on this earth, and they were what? They were His representatives. You know, at the beginning there, the Lord left them with certain signs to show that His ministry had been passed down to the apostles. And it speaks of that in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 2, it says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own will. So the apostles were left with these different miracles God gave them, confirming that this ministry was their ministry. Well, now we have the completed Word of God. And we have what? We are Christ's representatives on the earth. We are to preach. We are to give out this ministry of reconciliation. We are to do it as if in the same way that Christ would do it. Christ had what? Eyes of compassion. Matthew chapter 9. When He saw the multitude, He was what? He was moved with compassion. You know, are we His representatives in that when we see a group of people, we see them as Christ would see them? Are we truly His ambassadors, functioning as His representatives, seeing things the same way that Christ would see them? You know, if you have an ambassador sent from a country, you want that country to be represented in the right way. You don't want that ambassador just making any sort of decision. And as representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to see things the way He would see them. You know, Christ came to serve. He came not to be ministered unto, but to what? To minister and to give His life a ransom for many. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28 and Mark chapter 10 and verse number 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. That is who we are representing. We are in His stead. We are in Christ's place on this earth. Now, obviously, He is in heaven. He is the one. God is the one accomplishing this work. But we are His physical representation on this earth. And are we operating in His stead? Do we have that same passion for service like Christ had? In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what Christ's ministry was all about. Was what? Seeking and saving that which was lost. You know, we can have the idea, well, I'm just going to wait for the lost to come to me. But what did Christ do? He came to what? To seek and to save that which was lost. You know, is there that seeking in our lives? Are we seeking for lost souls? You know, it can be so easy to to stand idly by. But are we representing Christ? Are we in His stead? Are we seeking out the lost ones? Just like Christ would do it if He was here, seeking lost sinners for Himself. You know, we are on a mission. You know, if somebody was on an important mission, maybe it was an Air Force pilot or some kind of somebody from the Air Force, and there was a place that was going to be bombed by the Air Force. It was enemy territory. And so some of the men were sent into that territory to warn the people that they need to get out because soon this place was going to be bombed. And everybody better get out, otherwise they're going to die in this bombing. Now, if the Air Force hired, you know, the Air Force sent one of their men or a couple of their men in to warn these civilians to get out, you know, and maybe these men came in, you know, dressed in maybe jeans and a T-shirt, maybe their T-shirt's even untucked, and, you know, they don't, maybe there's, you know, a lot of holes in their jeans, and, you know, they didn't comb their hair that morning, and maybe they even, you know, had a few pamphlets, and they're walking around, and, you know, they're just handing out these things and saying, you know, you might want to read these sometime when you get a chance, and handing out these pamphlets. Well, how do you think the people are going to respond to that message? Are they really properly representing what is going to take place in that place, in that village or in that town? Well, they're not communicating what? The importance of the message that they are committing, that they are committed to. You know, sometimes we can act the same way, though. You know, we can be maybe apologetic of the message that we are communicating. Obviously, we need to be respectful. But sometimes we need to have more passion in our giving forth of that message, realizing the importance of the one that we are representing, realizing the grave state of affairs that that person is in because they are an enemy of God. And without being reconciled to God, they are destined for an eternity in the lake of fire. And are we going to be like that, you know, Air Force officer who doesn't really care about the people that much and, you know, just, well, if you get a chance, maybe you might want to read this thing. And, you know, they're not dressed in their uniform or they're not dressed in such a way to show the importance of that message. You know, what are we communicating to people? Are we truly showing ourselves to be operating in Christ's place? It says, we pray you in Christ's stead. Be reconciled to God. Is there that fervency? Is there that desire to see lost souls saved? And how easy it is, I know in my own life, how easy it is to lose that passion, to lose that understanding of where these souls are. And how quickly they can pass into eternity. You know, Christ took time for the people. He took time for the outcasts, so to speak, of society. He sought them out. He did not just wait for people to come to His doorstep. You know, it doesn't matter what people's response to us is. Our job is to be faithful in communicating the message that God has given to us. In the book of Ezekiel, as God had sent Ezekiel on a message, on a mission, and a message that he was to give, and he had to give it to people that were stiff-hearted, to people that were rebellious. And the Lord says to him, "For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted, I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. You know, we are not to, well, no one's listening to me. And so we stop giving the message. You know, well, now who are we acting like? We're acting like the very same people that we're trying to give the message to, that are refusing it. And the Lord says to Ezekiel, don't be rebellious like they're being rebellious. Now, I'm going to give you something to do, and you're supposed to eat this roll. I'm not saying a roll as in a bun, but a roll as in a something that was written on it. All right? And, you know, and here he ate this roll. And he says, go speak unto them. You know, he didn't sit there and ask questions. You know, why do you want me to eat this roll? This doesn't make any sense. You know, why should I do this? Lord, are you sure you want me to do this? I mean, it doesn't really make a lot of sense why I should do this. You know, are you sure you want me to go, you know, witness to that person? You know, I just don't know why they, I mean, they doesn't see, that doesn't seem like the kind of person that would accept the gospel. You know, well, we need to what? We are in Christ's stead, and we need to what? We need to follow what he said. Whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. You know, it says in Matthew chapter 9, the fields are what? They're white, all ready to harvest. And we need to go forth, realizing the magnitude of this mission that God has called us to. That if you are reconciled tonight, you have been given a ministry. You know, you don't have to sit there and wonder, you know, what's my ministry in McQuonigal Baptist Church? Well, guess what? God's given you a ministry. Every single person in this church, and that is the ministry of reconciliation. And you know, if you're wondering, sitting there, you know, what should I do? Well, guess what? God has a special ministry for you tonight. And it is an important ministry. You know, the most important ministry that has been given. And it is the most important message that you can give out. And it is a great and sizable mission. It is a magnificent message. There is a great audience. But greater than that, there is a magnificent representation that we have. And we are not to function as if it's our ministry, but just as if somebody gave us a job to do. You know, young people, your parents gave you a job to do. What should you be thinking? You know, how would my mom or dad want this job done? You know, that's what we need to be thinking with this ministry that Christ has been given to us. How would Christ want this job done? You know, what does the Word of God say? How is it instructing me? You know, tonight, have you taken this ministry that has been given to you? And have you been functioning in the capacity that God has called for you to function in that ministry? Do you recognize what has been done? Do you recognize the fact that you were an enemy, but yet you have been reconciled? For he hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Are you beseeching others in as if you are the messenger of God to that person? Are you functioning as if you are representing Christ? You are in his place, so to speak, representing that person? We have a great ministry tonight. And may we be the ambassador that God would have us to be tonight. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you have accomplished for us through Christ. Lord, how often we fail in this ministry that has been given to us. Lord, as the summer months come upon us, Lord, as we have opportunities to speak with people, Lord, as we go out on visitation, Lord, I pray that you would help us to recognize who we are representing. Lord, may we recognize the great message that has been given to us. Lord, may we get a sense, Lord, of the great multitude that you have sent us to. Lord, not just in this community, Lord, but across this world. Lord, I pray tonight that we would recognize that it's your power that we need to accomplish this mission that you have sent us on. Lord, how encouraging it is to think, Lord, that faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. And we don't have to sit by and wonder, Lord, what's going to take place? But Lord, we can simply rest in your promises. Wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed, the first question tonight is, have you been reconciled to God? Has that transformation that can only take place in Christ happened in your life? Have you been saved? Is there anyone tonight that would say, you know, Pastor John, I don't know for sure that if I were to die tonight that I would go to heaven, that my sins have been forgiven? There hasn't been that time in my life where I've repented and turned in faith to Christ. Is there anyone like that tonight? The Lord is working in your life about salvation. I wonder tonight, believers, where are you in this ministry of reconciliation? You know, I know how easy it is for us to get lackadaisical in this important ministry. But the fact is, if we aren't involved in this ministry, who is? The unsaved aren't. God's called us to do it. Every single one that has been reconciled. And I wonder tonight, have you gotten lazy, so to speak, in that ministry? Maybe discouraged, maybe disheartened? And you have to realize that that discouragement, maybe that disheartenment, you know, now you have begun to respond to God, so to speak, in the same way that those that are rejecting you are responding. And we need to really forsake our own rebellion. And we need to really, from a positive standpoint, recognize how great a message we have to give out. Wonder tonight, is the Lord working in your life about that ministry of reconciliation and how you really need to commit yourself anew and afresh to what God has called every believer to do? Is there anyone like that tonight? Lord is working in your life and you really need to recommit yourself to that ministry. All right, you can put those hands down. Is there anyone else tonight? Lord is working in your life in that area. You know, to be like Christ, to seek and to save. Lord, I pray that you would work in each one of our hearts. We thank you for what Christ has done for us. Help us to spread that good news to others. Lord, may we be thankful for what you have done. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.